I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, let's bring in Ben Golliver from the Washington Post. And again, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, We're doing great. Thank you. We appreciate your time today. First, I just want to ask a general overall question. With the new weighted lottery in the NBA that started last night, does this prevent tanking?
Well, I think it might go a little ways to help. I mean, when you look at the teams that won, New Orleans, despite their huge mess with Anthony Davis, you know, they were still actually winning games down the stretch at times and taking heat for their local media for doing so. You know, they kind of wanted them to tank a little bit more. And you look at the Lakers, I mean, their season obviously fell apart. But, you know, they're still winning more games than their team. They're getting to bump up. So I think the flattened odds, it kind of helped people in all sorts of different situations. I think it's a good news for Adam Silver, though, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it didn't go to the big markets, right? So it wasn't like New York won, L.A. 2. Instead, it was New Orleans won, Memphis 2. So I think from that standpoint, it keeps some of the pressure off his back because he's always hearing from the small market owners, hey, we want a level playing field. We feel like we have to tank to be able to compete. And here's a situation where he could say, look, we changed the odds. It favored some of these smaller market teams that did things, quote-unquote, the right way. And they win. So I think from that standpoint, Adam Silver is probably happy with how the results came out. Is it going to change every team's thinking? You know, that's where I would draw the line because there's just not enough talent in the NBA to go around. I think there's always going to be 5 teams out of 30 that are just going to be, you know, looking at, a bunch of losses in March and April, basically no matter what the NBA tries to do to legislate it out.
Is it interesting to you? And I don't believe the thing is fixed. I don't believe in any conspiracy theories. But here, the Lakers and the Pelicans, the two teams involved in all that Anthony Davis talk, end up moving up to 1-4. And if you want to make a trade, boy, there it is right there. And each team gets a huge boost, Ben.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in the lottery room. I was poking around. I like the conspiracy theories too. So I was trying to find a weak link in the system. Is it the machine? Is it the lottery balls? Is it the people who are pulling them? I'll be honest, I couldn't find one. And they had everything. They had their, T's crossed and their I's dotted for sure in terms of how the process actually works. The other thing I'd say, too, is that the Pelicans' message coming out of that lottery, it was very much chest-thumping, right? It was like, look, we stood tall in the face of those Anthony Davis rumors in February. We didn't fold, even though we had a new owner in Gail Benson who's kind of taking over for her deceased husband. Even though the pressure got so bad they had to fire the GM, they never traded him. And I think they look at winning the lottery as an opportunity for them to try to re-recruit Anthony Davis, basically sell him on staying there for another year. But the other thing I'd say is the Knicks getting that number 3 pick now opens up another potential suitor in a trade package, right? Yeah. If you're trying to ship Anthony Davis this summer, if you're New Orleans, the last place you want to send him is Los Angeles. The Knicks now have a better pick than the Lakers have. They've got some other young players you could put together into a package. And you've also got a little bit of a bidding war between, the Boston Celtics, who obviously would love Anthony Davis, and New York, who now would be in the mix potentially with a pretty good asset to trade for him. So that actually really helps the Pelicans' position. And I think their preference, as far as I could tell, just kind of speaking to their people last night, if they're going to trade him, they don't want to trade him in the Western Conference. And the last place they want to trade him is the Lakers because they don't want to be viewed as they got bullied around. And I think from that standpoint, even though L.A. is a big winner because they did jump up in the lottery drawing, I don't think they necessarily got any closer to securing Anthony Davis this summer.
Ben, we had a question earlier today, and people were talking about when you used to see the ping pong balls fly out. You were in the room, okay? Would it be a good TV event to show what's going on in that room and then automatically let people know what's going on? Like, would they be better served? You were the things that I had heard from people that had been in the room, they were like, this would be a really boring thing to put on television.
The TV show that they do is way better than the actual drawing. I mean, they try to make it as a serious event. Look, they're bringing in guys from Ernst & Young, the accounting firm, right? So this is not exactly like ESPN's top TV talent in terms of charisma and trying to sell the show. What they do, I will say this, for transparency's sake, they videotape that lottery drawing proceeding, and they do put it up on the internet. You can find it on NBA.com. So if you're a real nut and you want to say, okay, I want to see exactly which numbers got drawn, if you're interested in learning that the Memphis Grizzlies actually won twice, they won the second pick and the fourth pick, but you can only win once, so they had to redo it. That's why the Lakers won the fourth pick. If you're interested in little nuggets like that, you can go watch the full video of the drawing online, and that's what the NBA has tried to do as sort of a medium solution. But look, having it on stage, having it with the drama of the, you know, players like Kyle Kuzma or the Pelicans, you know, Vice President of Basketball Operations, David Griffin, having those people up front, the drama is just much better, and it works better on TV. Now, that being said, the emotions in that lottery room were very real. When the Pelicans won, Alvin Gentry jumps up out of his seat, screams out a profanity. He's like walking back and forth. I mean, he can barely contain his excitement. He's got a wide smile on his face. He's like gesturing over towards the media. I mean, there's like 12 of us writers there. I mean, he was really milking it. And meanwhile, every team that hadn't won, I mean, they're looking with like an ashen look on their face. I mean, they're trying to be happy for Alvin, but deep down inside, I mean, you're obviously jealous in that situation. So there was a lot of drama in that room, but I think ultimately what they show on TV is better.
Ben Golliver joining us from the Washington Post, lead NBA writer. You wrote a story 2 days ago, Ben. It was really good stuff for us. The Cavaliers need to find a non-LeBron identity. Michigan's John Beilein could help. Why do you think that's the case on both fronts? Why do they need it, and why can John be a help?
Well, look, I mean, we understand the challenges in Cleveland. I mean, you've got an owner who really, really wants to win, and he's an active owner. That can work for you. That can work against you. He's turned over the front office multiple times. He's turned over the coaching staff multiple times in recent years. And when you've got that kind of a situation and you don't have a talented roster, you don't have an experienced roster, it just creates a leadership vacuum, because ultimately an owner can't tell the players what they need to do. He can't make the adjustments, you know, in the huddles. He can't set the game plans. There's just not enough time for a guy to do that. You need to have a big leadership personality. And the reason why I like the Beilein hiring is, you know, I saw these interviews or they're doing job interviews with other, you know, like assistant coaches, you know, first time potential head coaches. If you look down at what happened in Phoenix, it's a similar situation. I mean, the owner down there is very aggressive. He wants to be involved. He really wants to win. Sometimes he can't stay out of his own way, though. And, you know, when they brought in these young coaches, whether it was Earl Watson or Igor Kokoskov, I mean, those guys really struggled. Like, they were not able to set the culture. They were not able to get buy-in from the players. They were not able to establish a winning culture. And all of those things need to happen in Cleveland, because when you look at the talent, you know, Colin Sexton obviously comes on strong down the stretch of last season. He's one guy. You know, you've got Kevin Love, but, you know, he's a trade piece potentially, and he's not necessarily on a youth-oriented timeline. So that's kind of a questionable fit. And then the rest of their roster, you know, apologies to Chetty Osman. I love that guy's game. I mean, there's just not a lot else there. So this is going to be a long-term, multi-year building program for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you need a guy who's been through that, who's built up his own program, who's going to command respect immediately when he gets in there, and who isn't going to be learning on the fly. And there's going to be an adjustment from college to the NBA. There's no question about it. But look, there's a big adjustment from going from an assistant coaching job to a head coaching job. And a lot of times those guys get swallowed up. And I think if you're dealing with an owner who really wants to win as quickly as possible, who wants to be viewed as having a premier organization, which obviously they had during four straight finals trips, you have to have somebody who's got some real backbone, some, you know, real, you know, credibility, respect, integrity, all of those things. And I think John Beilein brings those aspects to the table. So, you know, we'll see how they do. I never thought they really established themselves after LeBron left to the Lakers. Obviously, they fired Ty Lue right off the bat early in the season. There was that weird drama trying to replace him with Larry Drew. I thought that was kind of a bad look and kind of spelled doom a little bit for their season. And then, of course, they got hit with the injury bug, too. So they're looking to turn the page, and I think John Beilein can really help them do that.
Well, that's very interesting thoughts, and anybody listening, I'd suggest you go read Ben's story in the Washington Post about it, even more on that. Cavs are sitting at five, and you know everybody here had their fingers crossed for top three. But at five, you're still going to have your choice of some guys who could end up being really impactful NBA players. Who jumps out at you out of the pack of like Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver, that crew?
I like the Culver kid better than the other two wings that are probably going to be available there. You know, I kind of like the RJ Barrett fit for the Cavs. It's too bad he probably won't slide to them. But Culver can just do a little bit of everything. And I'm just convinced he's going to be a long-term pro basically no matter what. I just think he has a high floor. Now you can question, is he dynamic enough? Is he athletic enough to be like a perennial all-star wing? And that's a fair question. And I think that remains to be seen. But he's got a great body. He's polished. He's a two-way player, good length on defense. I think he's also the type of guy who could fit with Sexton. I mean, Sexton's going to be a ball-dominant player for most of his career, right? I mean, that's just going to be who he is. I think there's a natural fit there because I don't think Culver has to dominate the basketball. You saw the success they had, obviously, in the tournament run. But you know, he was a lightly regarded high school recruit. He stayed home down there in an area that hasn't really produced that much NBA prospects over the years. Down there in Texas, and he really, to me, stepped it up during the tournament run, showed his defensive ability, like I mentioned. He could score the ball a little bit. The three-point shot has to work, but he's got a good shooting motion. It's smooth. It's not like it's broken. And I think he's got a good motor, too. And he's also just a good kid. I mean, his dad's like a preacher. He was the team chaplain. I mean, he's about the right stuff. He's a no-nonsense type of guy. If you're trying to build a culture, he's the kind of player I would be targeting if I was a team like Cleveland. And for their sake, I kind of hope he slips to five. I know there's a lot of different ways that order could go, but I think he makes a lot of sense for them on a bunch of different levels.
Ben, thank you so much. Great stuff. We're going to go over to Washington Post and read all your stuff, especially the stuff about Beeline, too, that you and Jeff were just talking about, too. So thank you so much, Ben. We appreciate your time. We'd love to have you back on sometime in the future, too. You were great.
Thanks, Ben.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Golliver from the Washington Post was nice enough to join us here and talk a little bit more about the NBA. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.